Side 2. The visitor coughed in the white dust as he slammed the car door.
Bob Morris, CPA, he said, extending his hand. I'm with the San Francisco office.
Grant introduced himself and said, You look hot. Want a beer?
Jesus, yeah.
Morris was in his late 20s, wearing a tie and pants from a business suit. He carried a briefcase. His wingtip shoes crunched on the rocks as they walked toward the trailer.
When I first came over the hill, I thought this was an Indian reservation, Morris said, pointing to the teepees. No, Grant said, just the best way to live out here.
Grant explained that in 1978, the first year of the excavations, they had come out in North Slope octahedral tents, the most advanced available, but the tents always blew over in the wind. They tried other kinds of tents with the same result. Finally, they started putting up teepees, which were larger inside, more comfortable, and more stable in wind.
These are Blackfoot teepees built around four poles, Grant said.
Sioux teepees are built around three, but this used to be Blackfoot territory, so we thought.
Uh-huh, Morris said, very fitting.
He squinted at the desolate landscape and shook his head.
How long you been out here? About 60 cases, Grant said.
When Morris looked surprised, he explained,
We measure time in beer. We start in June with 100 cases. We've gone through about 60 so far.
63, to be exact, Ellie Sattler said as they reached the trailer.
Grant was amused to see Morris gaping at her. Ellie was wearing cut-off jeans and a work shirt tied at her midriff. She was 24 and darkly tanned. Her blonde hair was pulled back.
Ellie keeps us going, Grant said, introducing her. She's very good at what she does. Well, what does she do? Morris asked.
Paleobotany, Ellie said, and I also do the standard field preps.
She opened the door and they went inside. The air conditioning in the trailer only brought the temperature down to 85 degrees, but it seemed cool after the midday heat. The trailer had a series of long wooden tables with tiny bone specimens neatly laid out, tagged and labeled. Farther along were ceramic dishes and crocks. There was a strong odor of vinegar. Morris glanced at the bones.
I thought dinosaurs were big, he said.
They were, Ellie said, but everything you see here comes from babies. Snake water is important primarily because of the number of dinosaur nesting sites here. Until we started this work, there were hardly any infant dinosaurs known. Only one nest had ever been found in the Gobi Desert. We've discovered a dozen different hadrosaur nests, complete with eggs and bones of infants.
While Grant went to the refrigerator, she showed Morris the acetic acid baths, which were used to dissolve away the limestone from the delicate bones.
They look like chicken bones, Morris said, peering into the ceramic dishes.
Yes, she said, they're very bird-like.
And what about those?
Morris said, pointing through the trailer window to piles of large bones outside, wrapped in heavy plastic.
Rejects, Ellie said. Bones too fragmentary when we took them out of the ground. In the old days, we just discard them, but nowadays we send them for genetic testing.
Genetic testing? Morris said.
Here you go, Grant said, thrusting a beer into his hand. He gave another to Ellie. She chugged hers, throwing her long neck back. Morris stared.
We're pretty informal here, Grant said. Want to step into my office?
Sure, Morris said. Grant led him to the end of the trailer, where there was a torn couch, a sagging chair, and a battered end table. Grant dropped onto the couch, which creaked and exhaled a cloud of chalky dust. He leaned back, thumped his boots up on the end table, and gestured for Morris to sit in the chair.
Make yourself comfortable.
Grant was a professor of paleontology at the University of Denver, and one of the foremost researchers in his field, but he had never been comfortable with social niceties. He saw himself as an outdoor man, and he knew that all the important work in paleontology was done outdoors with your hands. Grant had little patience for the academics, for the museum curators, for what he called teacup dinosaur hunters, and he took some pains to distance himself in dress and behavior from the teacup dinosaur hunters, even delivering his lectures in jeans and sneakers.